About 6 to 8,000 residents of Georgetown County, South Carolina are preparing to evacuate because up to 10 feet of water from rivers swollen by Hurricane Florence is expected to flood that area tomorrow. In North Carolina, 5 rivers remain at major flood stage levels. And when rivers crest and cross their banks, they will in many places flood farmland. There have already been reports that flooding has caused breaches at some large lagoons where hog waste is stored. This is a long-term problem. We'll take it up at another time. But what else are farmers facing? Scott Marlowe is a farm crisis advocate based in North Carolina and senior policy specialist at the nonprofit RAFI. That's the Rural Advancement Foundation International. He's helped farmers recover from 17 hurricanes, including Florence. And Scott, before Florence hit, you were worried about crops still in the ground. So what happened?
It's very extensive, and there's still, obviously, folks are still getting in to understand the extent of the damage. Most of our peanut crop and sweet potato crop was still in the field. Both of them are underground, so sitting underwater for long periods of time is very, very damaging. You know, most of our cotton crop was still in the field. Most of the soybean crop was still in the field. A pretty large percentage of tobacco was still in the field. All of those. You know, the wind that came in with the hurricane is one thing. It blows crops down, it lays them down. But the flooding is even more damaging and even more complete a damage to the to the crops, and, you know, makes them unharvestable.
So what happens? Because the water's sitting there. It's going to be sitting there, we understand, for days. And it's still coming. These rivers are still cresting. So talk about how farmers, when they have these huge losses, how they might get reimbursed. First of all, you go in. And your people go in and you literally sit with farmers and count receipts and shoeboxes, you've said. But if farmers don't do something, if they don't do something within a certain window, they're out of luck.
Well, one of the things, one of the big messages that we get out to folks is that the first thing that they need to do is to document all of their disaster, all of the disaster losses. Because government programs often can come online a year, even 2 years after the disaster to pay for losses. But if they haven't documented them, they can't get access to those programs. You know, disaster recovery for anyone requires them to be at their most organized best, at a point where their life and their, you know, their brain and everything is at its worst. Their situation is at its worst. And so there's a whole series of different programs. They often have different deadlines and different applications. They have to navigate between FEMA and the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Small Business Administration. They have to know which agency covers which damage, and that's their real differences there, but it's very difficult. There are some great people who are out there, even as we speak, helping people evacuate, helping people in shelters and doing that. What we're working on getting in place is the longer-term recovery for exactly that, is sitting down with people, working through the paperwork with them, helping go through the application process. It's very important because these deadlines are going to start coming up 30, 60, 90 days after the disaster. And, you know, it's very difficult to be that kind of organized and get all your paperwork together. You know, it's hard to document how much production that you had when your file cabinets are, you know, a waterlogged mess.
Right, which is why you tell farmers to take photographs before the storm hits so that they have pictures as well. But talk about the difference in insurance coverage they might get. And this is where we get into the, it can get kind of netty, but the difference between commodity farms, farms that are just, you know, selling goods back to, let's say, maybe big companies, and special direct marketing farms, something you're encouraging, people who might be, let's say, raising grass-fed cows to send them, sell them directly as kind of a specialty to people. Those farmers who might lose cows or lose that grass, you know, that is going to feed those cows, they're going to get reimbursed the same as the commodity farmer who might have, you know, cows all, you know, in an industrial situation. They're not going to get the same return on what they put in.
The main federal program for production losses is federal crop insurance. It's subsidized by the taxpayer. It's available to farmers. And like all insurance, the larger the commodity or the larger the crop, the more they're able to provide effective insurance. And so your corn, soy, cotton, they have pretty extensive crop insurance policies. Now, I got to be clear, just like your health insurance or your car insurance, that doesn't mean that those insurance policies make those farmers whole. It means that they have something that they know they're going to get a certain percentage of their return back, they're still going to struggle. They're still going to have a hard time. And the returns on those commodities are very thin. But if you're doing something specialty, and increasingly consumers are looking for local or specialty raised, that's a much higher value. So the farmer's going to invest more in producing it, and then that product is going to have a higher value in the marketplace. The things that you're going to buy at a specialty grocery store, you know, heirloom tomatoes or any of those types of things. Well, for those farmers, the prices that are set in the insurance policies aren't going to come anywhere near the value of their product in the marketplace. The value of that product can be two or three times. And so what we've seen over the last few years, especially in North Carolina with the reduction of tobacco production, is farmers moving into very high value, often direct markets, sales to restaurants, sales to high value grocery stores, and real entrepreneurship, great entrepreneurship from the farm community to drive that. Well, those are the exact farmers who are going to have the most difficulty recovering, because the disaster programs are just not geared for that type of production, for that value, to really address those kinds of losses. And so, you know, we've worked a lot of different, you know, it's my 17th hurricane. And what we see is that for the large scale producers, I mean, they're going to have a tough time, but they're going to get on through. For those smaller scale and mid-scale folks who are selling something higher value, it's going to be very, very difficult. Yeah. They're just not going to have the same safety net.
Meantime, we understand you're keeping an eye on the hemp crop. Mid-sized farmers in North Carolina think this is the next big thing. North Carolina is moving ahead of the federal government in allowing hemp production. How did the hemp crop fare?
I'm hearing from a series of folks. This was a year where we had a significant jump in production. A lot of small and mid-scale farms really got into it, seeing that it's something that they want to go after, a new market. But one of the important pieces is that that's a crop that is completely off of the safety net. There is no insurance for it. There's no backup for those production losses, for the value of those production losses. It can be very expensive to put in. Folks who've taken that risk are really looking at major losses. Those who had it in the field were hearing losses of anywhere from half to all of the hemp that was out there. And there's really not any place that they can get those losses covered. They're going to have to absorb that. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the risks of moving into a high-value crop that doesn't have that kind of safety net behind it.
Yeah. Look, you talk about how you're obviously looking now to see the damage to crops, the damage to farms. But you say right after a storm, banks, let's say, that farmers might have to make constant payments to, farmers have to constantly borrow money to, you know, do their work every season. Banks are a little more sympathetic. But in a couple of years, we might start seeing the foreclosures.
The pattern that we see is that folks will pull it all together to get through and go another year and get through this time. But what a disaster does is it takes all of the resilience out of the farm. So all of their savings, all their retirement, anything that they had extra, everything's gone. And they've spent so much time and they've spent so much money trying to recover. And so what happens is, as they go forward, they can't afford to stub their toe. It's important to note that we were already in a very, very low price commodity situation already. Nationally, farm income is down by 50%. Our hotline already had a very full caseload before we hit the hurricane. So as they go forward, what we see frequently is that the foreclosures and the problems will really kick in 2 years, 3 years, even 4 years down the line, after the attention on the hurricane or the attention on the disaster has gone away. And when they're still trying, they're in that very dangerous window of having no reserves and carrying extra debt and not having had the time to make up for it and get back on their feet and really go forward again.
Mm. Well, we hope that a couple years down the road you don't see that, but historically that's what you have seen. That's Scott Marlowe, a farm crisis advocate and senior policy specialist at RAFI. That's the nonprofit Rural Advancement Foundation International. He has responded to help farmers after 17 hurricanes now. And Scott, what's the spirit there?
I think one of the really important things is that we tend to look at people as either helpers or victims. And, you know, I was talking to a farmer yesterday who is a member of his volunteer fire department. He's looking at having lost 700 acres of peanuts, but he's out doing water rescues this week. So it's really important as people get back on their feet that, you know, the folks who are going through this, they're all going through it together. And people who are helping are also going through it. So as we go forward over time, we know that this is going to play out and be tough in terms of mental health, in terms of people's health, physical health, in terms of the resilience of their households and their farms. And it's just a very important time for people to stick together and take care of each other and be in it and take care of each other for the long haul. This is going to take years for us to get past. It's not going to happen in a couple of months. It's going to keep going long after the attention has gone someplace else.
Well, Scott, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much.
He gives us a deeper appreciation of our sweet potatoes.